Welcome to Coffee Time Conversations on art, faith, life,
and of course, coffee.
We are your hosts, Robert
and Rebecca Prince.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. We are in the midst of fall.
We are.
We've had some cooler weather. It's been really nice.
Really nice. We've been going on walks again, which is lovely. It's where we get a lot of our thinking time.
It does, as if we don't do enough thinking and talking, especially over coffee in the morning. But
hey, but there's something about walking around the neighborhood and just talking.
Yeah, I mean, it gets you out of the norm. It gets you out of your regular surroundings and just opens up a different level of conversation and different direction sometimes.
Yep.
So. No, it's nice, but with fall, your last visit with a friend of yours had you trying some new tea also.
Yeah, I went for a visit, and a lot of times we're supposed to have coffee, but a lot of times I've already had my coffee for the day.
Yeah.
And she offered tea, and I was like, yeah, let's have some tea. And she introduced me to dandelion tea.
Yeah, which sounds really weird when you first said that. I'm like, I don't want to drink a weed,
right? It sounded wrong. And I was like, I don't think I can do that. And she was like, it's really good, Rebecca. You should really try it. She was like, I'll make it and then you can try mine. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
She says, it smells really good. Well, it did. It smelled like cake.
Oh. Yeah.
And I tried it and it kind of tasted like cake too. It was really, really good. And I was looking it up just before we got on today just to kind of get some more information because I hadn't read about it much. She said it was really good for you.
Yeah.
Which it is. It's considered a superfood. And it's not.
Okay.
It's the root of the plant.
Yeah.
So they roast the root and then
it's not like pulling the weed and eating it.
Right. And make that into tea. But they say it's really similar to coffee in taste and properties somehow. But I realized when reading this that the one she had vanilla. It's an organic vanilla flavoring added to it, which I think is why it tastes like cake.
Ah.
But okay. Either way, I'm intrigued enough by it all that I think I'm going to have to buy some.
Yeah. 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 I would definitely try some, it sounds like. You know, we talked about this. We have quite a bit of tea.
We have so much
tea. And we want to be tea drinkers, but we've just never gotten into it.
We cannot give up our coffee.
Well, I'm talking about even just throughout the day as a hot, you know, have a hot tea beverage versus trying to drink so much water.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like it just doesn't.
Especially if it's decaf.
Yeah. It just hasn't fit into our routine very well.
Right. Yeah.
I want to.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I'm having a hard time buying this, because we've got a cabinet full of tea. We don't need more tea.
Yeah, but probably half of it needs to be thrown away. It's probably so old.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cheap bagged tea off the grocery store shelves, a lot of it.
We do drink more tea in the winter.
We do, yes.
Which is coming.
And I enjoy tea, especially for a bedtime snack, you know, an evening snack before bedtime.
You like your chamomile tea.
Sleepy time with vanilla.
Yeah.
But I don't drink it very often.
You get in a habit for like two or three nights in a row and then you forget again.
Yeah. I think it's because it's stuck behind a cabinet door, but we also don't want it out on the cabinet.
We've got enough out on the cabinet.
We do. Anyway, I look forward to trying that. So hopefully we decide to buy some. sounds pretty good. Well, you know, one of the other things with the fall and cooler temperatures have brought me spending more time in the studio.
Yes.
And I've realized from doing that, first off, let's take a step back. So for our fall shows, we've had two booked, one November 12th, which we've never done before, Art Cell, and then another one for Orr Reed, November 26th, which we did last year also and really liked it, kind of ideal client type of situation. And so we've been looking forward to doing two art fairs because we had a kind of a financial goal that we were shooting for this year.
Right.
Which was break even, but that's another story totally. However, I'm also going to the Hope Writers Conference, November 3rd through the 5th. And so that's taken some production time out and getting prepped for that and doing work. And so as I got into the studio a few weeks ago, I started trying to produce mugs because that's a lot of what I sell. And I've realized sitting down at a wheel and producing the same types of mugs over and over and over is a little bit life draining for me.
Yeah, you don't want to be a production artist.
Yeah. So I think definitely over the last month, I've realized that production pottery, especially just sitting at the wheel, making the same ones over and over, at least in that sense, is not something that I enjoy. And I've always enjoyed making mugs, but up until this year, I've concentrated on making mugs, but a lot of them were different. So each of them might be different with different handles. And so there was joy found in the fabrication of a new design.
Right.
Right. And making it work and tweaking the handles or the shapes or different things. So that's where the joy was found a lot of the times. But as of earlier this year, when I started producing kind of a lot of the same cups, a lot of the same design and handles and things like that, the joy started going out of that.
Yeah.
And so realizing that now, thankfully, as we're starting our business, right, we're 9 months, whatever, almost a year into it, whatever.
Right.
Thankfully, it's not our only source of income. So I don't have to worry about producing 50 to 100 mugs
every month,
to sustain us financially.
Right.
And so we've been blessed in that sense that we get to explore, we get to pivot, as we were saying earlier, yeah. Right? What we're wanting to do and how we're wanting to do it with our art and with this company.
And one of the key things we've decided isn't that we really want to make art full time.
Right.
We want to have the lifestyle we want. Like, yes. It's not about how can we make money from our art and live and sustain us.
Yeah.
But rather, how can we have the money we need to provide for all the things, but continue to have the lifestyle we really want that feeds our creativity and allows us to be creative.
Yeah.
But doesn't require us to be production artists.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we've always talked about that from a lifestyle perspective, doing something that would help us create a sustainable lifestyle that we really enjoy. And of course, a lot of that we've talked about it on the show. A lot of that was born out of COVID. Right? Slowing me down, for right. one, to a point that I would have possibly never slowed down before to realize some of the things that feed my soul.
Right.
And so balancing that new desire, or I should say that desire for a new lifestyle, with the requirements, you know, of living a sustainable life financially, like paying all the bills.
Right.
Doing the things we want to do. And we don't spend a ton of money. I mean, we don't travel a lot. I would like to travel a whole lot more. We don't.
But I would not.
You would not, right? But we don't spend a lot of extra, you know, money on things. We don't buy a ton of stuff.
We don't need much at this point.
It's really about supporting other artists. It's about supporting IJM and Compassion. Living a comfortable life, but it doesn't have to be a lavish life.
Right. Well, and that was the whole reason I even started painting was so that it wasn't about let me sell art and become an artist. It was about let me give more to Compassion International, whether that be financially or like spreading the word of the work they do and the things they accomplish.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I mean, I think back to 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you know, when the idea of doing art as a business kind of kept rearing its head in our lives. And you were like, I'm not sure I want to be a business. I'm not sure I want to pursue art as a business.
Yeah. And I meant that in the way of like, I didn't want it to be our sole income. Like I didn't want.
Yeah.
The responsibility of having to create in a way that would support us.
Right. That's a different type of a hustle.
Right.
Right. And then you've really got to pour yourself out and create for the masses. right? The people who are buying your artwork or the people who will buy your artwork. So it takes some of that creativity away in that sense. But also beyond that, it puts you in a different mindset where there's a pressure that you otherwise don't feel.
Right.
And that changes the creative process as well.
Mm-hmm. And you found that with your, your mugs, with your ceramics.
Yeah. Well, and we've been talking, the last couple of weeks, that I fell into this mindset that because you left your full-time job in February, I had to start producing a lot more pottery to replace that income.
Right.
And we decided beforehand that that was not the case. But in my mind, I've taken ownership of that more and more and more as the last 9 months have gone on.
Right.
Right. And there was no pressure from you to do that, but it's just it was
the mindset you had.
Yeah. Yeah. And it became more and more. And so going back to the mindset and our original thought of creating the lifestyle, keeping the lifestyle in mind first, and then creating the business around the lifestyle.
Right.
Whatever that may look like, which this is another reason that we hired Laura Cornell for our coach.
Right.
Right. Back in the spring. And so she's been so key, and that group of people that we're going through coaching with have been key in developing where we're at right now. I mean, we've said it a couple of times. We're months ahead, and at this point, maybe even a year ahead of where we would be had we not gone through coaching.
Right.
And I love what you said. I think it was this last coaching session. you love, in fact, I told the ladies in my hope circle about this, that paying for the coaching was worth it to you just to have Laura tell me things that you've told me
right.
in the same way, just to reinforce them, because sometimes I don't listen to you like you like.
Right.
Whether that's encouragement or...
Which it mostly is.
It mostly is, yeah.
But you were talking about in the last coaching session, you were talking about how it was a step back, and Laura was like, it's not a step back, Robert.
Right.
It's maybe...
It's really an evolution of
a zig or a zag.
Yeah.
She says, but finding out what you want, who you want to be, what you want to do, and how you want to go about it doesn't mean you're stepping back from anything. It just means you're pivoting or changing paths a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it was nice because I had said the same thing, kind of.
You had, yeah.
Not in those exact words, but and it was just nice because it felt like you heard her better.
Right. No, I agree. Well, and I think even as I was saying it, I was realizing it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think saying it in a different setting with different people, I think.
Well, and I think repetitiveness helps too.
Oh, for sure.
It's just, you know, hearing it from somebody else, hearing it again, all of that's helpful.
Yeah.
But it was nice to have somebody else kind of say the same thing
and
be on the same page.
Well, and I think one of the transitions that's happening for me is, so going into the studio work, right? Working back out in the studio to prepare for these shows that I've had lots of mugs to make. The goal was to have quite a few mugs at each show. But also producing work for Art House Dallas exhibit that's coming up. So we both will have artwork in that. I think we've talked about that a little bit. And so thinking through what those pieces would be, because I didn't want just a functional mug or things like that in the Art House Dallas show. So I'm producing some lamps that is from driftwood that I found on our last vacation, but also will have ceramic elements. So the creative thought process and things that go into creating that, because I've never done lamps.
Right.
Is really life-giving. It's troubleshooting, it's fabrication, it's design, it's creativeness, of course, it's getting my hands dirty in the mud. How do you attach these things and make them work, make them functional, while at the same time making them a nice design and also making dirt that shrinks 12-14% work with found wood and also light kits.
Right.
You know, so there's a whole new process to that. Well, that's really bringing a lot more creativity into my life, I feel like. And I feel like it gives me life versus just drains my life.
Right.
And so while at the same time as trying to start producing all of these mugs for the two shows and then also create these lamps for the Art House Dallas exhibit, I realized, so I think that helped me realize more that I don't want to be a production potter.
Right.
And if we wouldn't have had that exhibit to get me out of coming up that that gets me out of the normal flow, I think I would have just maybe trudged through the production for these next two shows and not even maybe realized what was going on. So I think pivoting and knowing that it's okay to pivot. And thankfully, like I said earlier, we're in a place where we don't make our living from our art. And so we're able to pivot. We're able to explore the things that really give us life and ultimately, hopefully help create the lifestyle that we want to live.
Right. Yeah.
And so that we can be very intentional about creating. Well, and we mentioned Laura Cornell, and she's been key in that group. The group coaching that we're in has been key in our development of the company and even in our direction, I think, of what we're doing. But she has a new book out.
She does.
Soon to be out, at least, publicly. Yeah. So that is called The Sustainable Maker. And that'll be releasing sometime soon.
Yeah. We haven't read it yet, but I think it talks about bringing sustainability practices as far as the environment and materials, resources, that sort of thing, how you incorporate all of that into the business of art.
Right. Right. And of course, we talked about the first book that she wrote, Maker's Mark,
is
the name of it. And it's about making a living and an impact with your artisan business.
Right.
And so that's the first book you went through, actually, when we went to Colorado on vacation.
Yeah, that was how I...
A little over a year ago.
Learned about Laura.
Right. And then you pursued the 10-week coaching program with her, and now we're in the year-long coaching program.
Yes.
And so I would say that was a key book. Maker's Mark was a key book.
Definitely.
In our development of and then starting of the company. And then now this new book from her. So we'll put links to Laura as well if you're interested in checking her out. And her new book is not out publicly just yet, I don't believe. But she does talk about it on her social media channels, so we'll be sure and link that as well. Well, as we start to wrap up this episode, we talked about maybe some things that we're looking forward to this fall, other than the cooler weather since it's already here.
And pumpkin.
Pumpkin, yeah. Pumpkin.
I'm going to be making some pumpkin bread.
Oh, yes.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Yes. My parents are coming to visit, and we're going to make pumpkin bread as and share.
Yeah. So you're looking forward to pumpkin?
Well, no.
So what are you looking for?
That is something I'm looking forward to, is pumpkin bread. But yeah.
That wasn't your answer, in other
That
words.
Was not it. No, yeah. I'm looking forward to the Art House Dallas exhibit.
Yeah.
That's going to be opening November 6th in Deep Ellum here in Dallas.
Yeah.
And it's a group show of some of the visual artists from Art House Dallas. We've kind of been working on this for a couple of years, and it's finally coming together.
Right.
So I'm really excited about seeing everyone's art.
Yes.
In it. And it's going to be our first show that we have art in it together. You'll have some pieces, and I'll have some pieces.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It'll be my first true exhibit of multiple pieces.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that.
I should say, provided everything turns out and comes out of the kiln properly. That's still yet to happen. Although yours are done and ready to go.
They are. So, they are. Yeah. Luckily, I started a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And I got everything finished and prepared.
Well, and I do have to say, I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. That's I feel like that's a next step for me.
Yes.
Like having pieces that are worthy of being in an art exhibit, not just, you know, an art cell that we go set up and sell stuff at a table and things like that. And so I'm looking forward to that. But of course, I've talked about the Hope Writers Conference coming up the first part of November. That's something that I'm looking forward to. I've never been to a writing conference. And I've kept saying over the last few weeks with you specifically that writing feeds my soul.
Yeah.
It does. And it feeds my spirit and just makes me a better all around human being, I feel like. And so I want to start doing more of that. And so, again, we're going back to lifestyle, right? Creating the lifestyle that allows you to do the things that feed you and bring you to life. And so I'm looking forward to going to that conference. And some of it will be about the business of publishing, of course. But I'm just anxious to explore something new. I love new things.
You do.
And new challenges. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then one other thing, and I'm answering multiple things here. I stole your answer and the Hope Writers Conference, but I'm also looking forward to talking with Corella Roberts again.
Oh, yeah. She's agreed to come back on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the midst of scheduling an interview with her. So Corella, for those of you who don't know or haven't listened, she's episode 22 and 23. She was almost a year ago. So last November, there were two episodes with her, and we talk about quite a few things, including her book, Colliding with the Call. Just a great interview. I would urge you to go back and listen to those things, two episodes, if you haven't already. So she will be coming up in the next few weeks, hopefully.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Advent. She has a new Advent resource out. And like us, she hasn't been practicing Advent that long. So she's kind of new to that practice. And so I'm excited about that conversation because, you know, our faith tradition and background and upbringing is not something we were exposed to Advent, really.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that conversation and then her new resource, being able to offer that to people as well. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's a good amount.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. You have anything else?
I think I'm going to go buy some tea.
Ah, yes. I think that would be good, especially if they could deliver it this morning.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Coffee Time Conversations. Please join us on social media. Get in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Answer some questions. And if you haven't listened to the interview from last week with Rachel Marie Kong, please go do that. It is such a great interview. Her book, Let There Be Art, is out actually yesterday. So Tuesday, October 11th is when her book came out. If you haven't gotten it yet, go check it out. I promise you will love it. Okay. Well, you all have a great week. We will talk to you again soon.
Bye.